Hi, Dave Emery here, side one of For the Record program number 806, Miscellaneous Articles and Updates. This is being recorded on August 17th of the year 2014. As the title indicates, we are going to be not only introducing some new topics of discussion for members of the audience, including some, by the way, that are very important, but that broke while I was convalescing from a serious illness and was unable to record. Other items of information that we are going to highlight today will be updates of previous topics of discussion. All of my life's work is available for download for free on spitfirelist.com, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. So listeners are emphatically encouraged to take advantage of that website in particular to update themselves either on stories that updates of previous lines of inquiry, or that have items that are referential to other topics that we have copied. We're going to begin by updating something that we looked at in For the Record number 773, and that is specifically the Boston Marathon bombing. We are being told that that was the work of two lone nuts who happened to be Islamists but did not have real links to jihadis or to jihadist elements that appear to enjoy support from elements of Western and Saudi intelligence. That is not, in fact, the case. As we looked at in For the Record 773, the available evidence suggests very strongly that the Tsarnaev brothers, that again is spelled capital T-S-A-R-N-A-E-V, were part of an intelligence-sponsored jihadist network in the Caucasus and Chechnya that included, apparently, elements of Western and U.S. intelligence. The Tsarnaev's brother, Uncle Ruslan, who was sort of the go-to guy for the media, had married the daughter of a very important CIA officer named Graham E. Fuller, who, among other things, in addition to being a strong advocate for the Muslim Brotherhood, was CIA station chief in Kabul in Afghanistan and appears to have presided over the covert operation there that eventually lured the Soviets in for their ultimately disastrous involvement in Afghanistan. In addition, Uncle Ruslan co-founded an organization called Chechen International with the aforementioned Graham E. Fuller, the tutor, unquote, for Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, both in high school and apparently at the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth, was a fellow named Brian Glynn Williams, who also was a CIA officer with a previous posting to Afghanistan. There are other numerous evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of September 11th. The individuals and institutions targeted in the Operation Green Quest raids of March 20th of 2002, Grover Norquist, the P-TECH operation, and others. I realized that this is a lot to just toss out willy-nilly and seemingly offhand. Again, please use the audio files and in particular the written description for the Record Program 773, and that will flesh out what may very well appear to a newer or more casual listener to be, frankly, BS, okay? What is interesting is that there is evidence that the Tsarnaev brothers did not act alone. Okay, we're going to talk about that. I would note that the prosecutor is not going to pursue that information, either for the trial or in the sentencing phase of the trial. Well, the answer, of course, is why not? If they had help in this, why in bloody hell wouldn't the prosecutor be pursuing the help? My theory is that what happened with the Boston Marathon bombing was similar in many ways to what happened with September 11th. Jihadist elements, Muslim Brotherhood-affiliated terrorist elements that were being used as proxy warriors against, in this case, Russia in the Caucasus, doubled back on the United States, just like jihadist elements that had been used against the Soviets in Afghanistan and against various the Yugoslavian government in what was Yugoslavia, particularly in Bosnia-Herzegovina, and also in Kosovo. Those elements doubled back big time on the U.S. With assistance from both neo-Nazi elements in this country and Europe and underground Reich elements. There also appears to have been similar far right-wing fascist links to the Tsarnaev brothers as well. My theory is that basically a CIA and or safari club type operation in the Caucasus blew back on the U.S. and that basically the FBI and legal investigation of the Boston Marathon bombing cut across a Western intelligence operation with links to both Saudi and elements of U.S. intelligence. I suspect that is why the prosecutors are not going to pursue who helped the Tsarnaev brothers, something that is otherwise, frankly, unthinkable. The first article is from Boston.com of May 22nd of 2014. It is by Lara, L-A-R-A, Salahi, capital S-A-L-A-H-I. The title, Evidence Suggested Tsarnaev Brothers Did Not Act Alone, and it reads in part, specific evidence had led federal officials to believe that Tamerlane and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev did not act alone in planning the Boston Marathon attacks, according to arguments submitted Wednesday by the U.S. Attorney's Office. Dzhokhar Tsarnaev's lawyers had requested that potentially incriminating comments he made while investigators questioned him at his hospital bedside be scrapped as evidence in the case against him. In response to the defense's motion, the prosecutors filed an opposition in the U.S. District Court in Boston to suppress the statement Tsarnaev made during his hospital stay, stating that Tsarnaev was never forced to answer any of the questions investigators had asked. The report also states that the prosecution does not plan to use Tsarnaev's statements as its main argument during the trial and sentencing. One of the filings by the prosecution stated that investigators were led to believe from the bedside questioning that, quote, the Tsarnaevs had accomplices and that they or others might have built additional bombs that posed a continuing danger to public safety, unquote. At least eight clues led investigators to this conclusion, including the sophisticated, unquote, nature of the bombs that were built that, again, quoting, would have been difficult for the Tsarnaevs to fabricate successfully without training or assistance from others, unquote. Also, no traces of crushed black powder from fireworks needed for the devices were found in any location linked to the Tsarnaevs, indicating that they may not have built it themselves. Behavior by the Tsarnaevs, including using temporary phones and planning another large-scale attack in New York City, also indicated the brothers did not act alone, according to prosecutors. These details suggest, quote, others might have radicalized them, directed them, trained them, assisted them, and or concealed them, and that these others might be planning or poised to carry out additional attacks, unquote, the report said. Well, call me silly or call me a conspiracy theorist, but I happen to think that whoever these other interests were should bloody well be pursued. And I would suggest that this might be very good information to bring out in the trial and to have on the court records. It certainly could be discussed in closed session if security were a matter here. But I think that the others who may have radicalized them, directed them, trained them, assisted them, and or concealed them, I should think that would be information that we need to know. Again, it is my theory that basically the Charnia brothers blew back from the use of jihadists in the Earth Island against, in this case, Russia in Chechnya and the Caucasus. They were being used as proxy warriors, basically on Russia's southern flank, rather like the OUNB-derived elements such as Sloboda, Pravi Sektor, the Azov Battalion, the UNA-UNSO, are being used in Ukraine. In the long and admittedly very complex analysis of the Arab Spring, unquote, I call it the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, we discussed the very strong evidence that that actually was the outgrowth also of a U.S. intelligence operation begun during the last days of the George W. Bush administration and then continued under Barack Obama. I suspect Obama didn't know much about it. I predicted at the time that it would lead to the Muslim Brotherhood coming to power throughout the Middle East and that the result would be violence, chaos, the political destabilization of the Obama administration, and other things as well. I suspect that ultimately it is going to blow back on the U.S. big time. Just take a look at the fire that Obama has been under from the GOP right for example, Benghazi, partial outgrowth of the Arab Spring, for not doing enough to support the, quote, rebels, unquote, in Syria. The same jihadists, by the way, that are currently taking over Iraq, and for which Obama is also being faulted for not doing enough to oppose the very elements in Iraq that he has told, we are told, or the GOP would have us believe he has not done enough to support in Syria. Last week, we took a look at Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia's probable support for the ISIS fighters that have been blitzkrieging across much of Iraq. Bandar Bush resigned as Saudi intelligence chief in April. He has been a long-time partner with the U.S. in various covert operations, again, going back to the anti-Soviet effort in Afghanistan, of which both Graham Fuller and Brian Glenn Williams were part, and also the Iran-Contra affair before that and other things. Prince Bandar is so close to the Bush administration that he is nicknamed Bandar Bush. And in his recent criminal trial in the United Kingdom for misuse of a multi-billion dollar slush fund, his defense attorney is none other than Louis Free, the former director of the FBI. Another of the points that I made in the series on the Arab Spring, for the record 733 and 739, and then updated in for the record program number 787, called the Muslim Brotherhood Spring, I told you so. One of the points I made in the original Muslim Brotherhood, the original Arab Spring series, was that we were being told that the Arab Spring would bring to power moderate, unquote, Islamist elements such as the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and that they would be, quote, moderate, democratically minded Islamists, very much like Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey. And I pointed out that the Tayyip Erdogan was in fact derived from the same Al-Taqwa Muslim Brotherhood elements that were allied with the Third Reich, that supported Al-Qaeda, and that were an extension of what I call the Underground Reich. And I pointed out that there was nothing moderate at all about Tayyip Erdogan. Since then, basically, he has dropped his mask and is now being revealed as the totalitarian that he basically is. It now turns out that in addition to Prince Bandar and other Saudi luminaries, Turkey also appears to be supporting ISIS. Turkey, not only nominally a U.S. ally, but a member of NATO as well. Among the elements that loom large in the apparent Turkish support for the very ISIS fighters we are told we need to fight against. I agree that we should be resisting them, at least with assistance and air power. But one of the ironies of that, they're getting backing from Turkey, which is ostensibly a U.S. ally and a member of NATO. Elements involved in that include the IHH. That is an institution that also supported Al-Qaeda. It also sponsored the flotilla that produced the 2010 incident off of Gaza. And it also has links to the IHH, links again to the Al-Taqwa milieu, and to Yassin Al-Qadi, a wealthy Al-Qaeda-linked Saudi businessman who was also one of the backers of PTEC. That was the Muslim Brotherhood controlled company that developed the threat assessment software architecture for NORAD, for the U.S. Air Force, for the Department of Energy, and for the Internal Revenue Service, among other federal agencies, also the U.S. Air Force, I believe. I'd have to check that. Certainly NORAD and other similarly linked federal agencies. One of the key directors of PTEC, a man with very close relationships to the FBI, is a guy named Yaqub Mirza, who also set up all of the fronts that were raided in the March 20th, 2002 Operation Green Quest raids. That was a raid on individuals and institutions that were involved in financing Al-Qaeda and Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, all Muslim Brotherhood derivatives. Yaqub Mirza, a partner with one of the members of the Kaiser family, I believe it's Nick Kaiser, in the Amana Mutual Fund, an Islamic financial organization. Yaqub Mirza was never indicted. In For the Record 773, we also noted very close links between the PTEC milieu and the Boston-based milieu that has been supporting jihadist elements in Chechnya, and certainly the evidence suggests very strongly that the Tsarnaev brothers are part of that milieu as well. So some of the key names here, again, Yassin Al-Qadi, a fellow named Youssef Al-Qaradawi. He is one of arguably the most important Sunni and Muslim Brotherhood cleric. He also is very close to the bank Al-Taqwa. The following is from CNBC.com of August 13th, 2014, an article by David Phillips titled, "Why is Turkey supporting Islamic State fighters in Iraq?" Now that U.S. forces are engaged in combat operations against Islamic State fighters in Iraq, the Obama administration must press ISIS on all fronts, targeting its financing, logistics, and weapons providers. Turkey, America's ally and NATO member, is allegedly involved in that provision. Clarifying Turkey's role would serve U.S.-Turkey relations. During my recent visit to Turkey, members of Turkey's parliament and prominent personalities described connections between Turkey, Turks, and militant Sunni organizations such as the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS. They allege a prominent role for Turkey's Foundation for Human Rights and Freedoms and Humanitarian Relief, or IHH, an Islamic charity with a history of assisting extremist groups. Bilal, B-I-L-A-L, Erdogan, E-R-D-O-G-A-N, President-elect Recep Tayyip Erdogan's son, has ties to the IHH board and allegedly uses his father's political network to raise funds for the organization. Some sources say Bilal has served on the IHH board, but the IHH website does not currently list him as a board member. President-elect Erdogan was outraged by atrocities committed against Sunni Muslims in Syria. He became the chief critic of Syria's President Bashar al-Assad, hosting opposition groups and the Free Syrian Army's headquarters in Gaziantep. That's G-A-Z-I-A-N-T-E-P. The West's failure to support the Free Syrian Army further incensed Erdogan. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates provide funds, while Turkey coordinates the travel, payments, and weapon supplies for ISIS, al-Nusra, and the Islamic Front. According to a March 2010 report of the International Institute for Counterterrorism, IHH had an annual budget of $100 million with field operations in 120 different countries. IHH works with the Muslim Brotherhood affiliates worldwide. The first known shipment of weapons to brothers in Syria occurred in September of 2012. Free Syrian Army commanders learned that a boat loaded with weapons docked in Syria. It was registered to members of the IHH. Major contributors to Recep Tayyip Erdogan's AK party are encouraged, unquote, to make contributions, lest they fall from favor and lose government contracts. IHH also receives money from international sponsors as well. IHH is financed by Yassin al-Qadi, that's capital A-L-Q-A-D-I, a wealthy al-Qaeda-linked Saudi businessman with close ties to Erdogan. IHH is an affiliate of the Saudi-based Union of Good, unquote. Sheikh Youssef Qaradawi, an advocate of suicide attacks in Israel, chairs the Union of Good. Abdul Majid al-Zindani, Z-I-N-D-A-N-I, a radical cleric and, quote, specially designated global terrorist, unquote, by the United States in 2004, serves on the board of the Union of Good. In 2010, the German branch of IHH was banned for links to jihadist activity. The U.S. Department of State listed the Union of Good as a foreign terrorist organization. It is surreal to watch the ISIS group committing war crimes, genocide against Yazidis and Shia and others, or would-be genocide against some of the various minorities in Iraq. And yet, at the same time, Bandar Bush, Saudi elements, Turkey, the Muslim Brotherhood elements that we are told are, quote, moderates, unquote, are assisting that very activity. We are going to turn to two stories, both of which broke, again, when I was convalescing from a serious illness, so I did not have time to include them in a broadcast. Both of these may very well be related. One of the common elements is the Christian Social Union, or CSU. That is the Bavarian part wing, so to speak, of the CDU, the Christian Democratic Union, one of the largest German political parties, the party of Angela Merkel, and the CSU is sort of its smaller Bavarian-based and more reactionary partner party. It's basically a wing, the Bavarian wing, of the CDU. CSU figures prominently in a story about an apparent cover-up of the Munich Oktoberfest bombing in 1980. And also, we're going to take a look at the CDU and CSU's role as participants in what became known as the Little Service. This was sort of a sub rosa intelligence service and political activist network that was put together in cooperation with Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon. It involved former Nazi elements, Reinhard Gehlen, the Nazi Eastern Front intelligence chief who jumped to the CIA and then became the de facto head of the CIA's Department of Russian and Eastern European Affairs. The Gehlen Org then became the de facto NATO intelligence organization. And finally, the BND, which it is to this day. Former prominent Nazis, including Konrad Adenauer's Eminence Gries, a fellow named Hans, H-A-N-S, Globke, G-L-O-B-K-E, were part of this little service. Globke was the co-author of the Nuremberg Laws, under which all of the Nazi genocide and abuses took place. The little service was put in power in order to destabilize the formal yet sub rosa destabilization of the German government of Chancellor Willy Brandt. His Ostpolitik did not sit well. His policy of detente with East Germany and Russia, the Soviet Union, I should say, did not sit well with either Richard Nixon or Henry Kissinger or the German industrialists, military figures, and political figures who had supported Hitler or were derived from the supporters of Hitler and who loathed Willy Brandt. What we are looking at in the little service is something of a transatlantic political axis in order to literally destabilize the German government. So what we have here is Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger collaborating with fascist and Nazi elements in Germany to destabilize the German government at the time. One of the things to contemplate here is one of the factors that we looked at in our massive series, AFA series, about the shooting of the Pope. We have come back to this in connection with Operation Gladio. In AFA 19, we look at the strategy of tension. That was a program of right-wing terror and also ostensible left-wing terror that was being run as provocation by elements of Italian intelligence. This was in cooperation with Vito Gelli's P2 Lodge, and it also involved sort of an intelligence service within an intelligence service in Italy. Italian intelligence was called the SISMI, that's S-I-S-M-I, and within that was an entity called the Super SISMI. It was an intelligence service within an intelligence service, and basically that was being run by Vito Gelli and the P2 Lodge, and it was aimed at producing a reign of terror to destabilize not only the Italian left, but also any government elements in Italy that was sympathetic to, or at least tolerant of, those elements. In our analysis of the Munich Oktoberfest bombing of 1980, we are going to look at some apparent networking between some of the Nazi elements that appear to have been behind the Oktoberfest bombing and also elements that figure in the P2 nexus. A fellow named Joachim Fiebelkorn, a German Nazi who worked as an informant for various intelligence services, including the DEA here in the U.S. He also was a member of Klaus Barbie's Fiancés of Death or Bridegrooms of Death, another member of that organization, Klaus Barbie's CIA-supported Coca Fascisti in Bolivia, was a fellow named Pierluigi Pagliai. And both of them were close to Stefano Della Chiai, a fellow who was one of the linchpins of Italian terrorism and who also operated in Latin America. Again, AFA programs 17 through 21 for download for free from SpitfireList.com. We'll go into that at great length. Again, many of these names may seem strange, or many of the things that I'm talking about might seem outlandish. Go to SpitfireList.com and the documentation is there. This concludes Side 1. For the record, program number 806, miscellaneous articles and updates being recorded on August 17th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.